Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Blue Canary. The bird has landed on beautiful Bainbridge Island, conveniently located at 499 Madison Avenue. ASE Master Technician Clint Ramsey brings over 15 years of experience, award-winning diagnostic skill, and a desire to reinvent the automotive repair experience. Schedule an appointment online at bluecanary.biz or call them today at 206-451-4220. I got something for your mind, body, and soul. I got something for your mind, body, and soul.
Bystander Podcast. Now here's your host with the most, Tiny Tim.
Welcome to the Bystander.
Yes, man. Thank you.
Greg Nance, how are you?
I'm good. I'm very, very tired right now. Just waking up. Mornings are the hardest part. Everything kind of aches. And there's a big goal in front of us today, but I've found once we're moving, things get a little bit better. So that's the mentality each morning is get moving.
What's your morning routine like now? I mean, are you doing the ABCs with your feet in bed and stretching out a little before you get up and... Tell me a little bit.
The first thing is I've got a great team that makes everything a little bit easier for us. And so the team is thinking about what's going to be the most nutritious breakfast for me, given where we're at. So getting good calories in, refueling electrolytes and hydration, because I'm kind of dehydrated and I'm calorie deficit at the end of each day. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, there's stretching, there's body work, like kind of trigger point massage to kind of get me loosened up. Every day there's something that's been kind of bothering me. So a lot of focus there. Plan our route for the day, kind of where our target stopping point is, get stretched out, get clothes on for the day, and then head out the door. And then I'm generally eating breakfast in the pickup truck on our way to the start line.
Right. Where are you at right now?
We are in, outside of Blue Earth, Minnesota. What's the name?
Caxon,
Minnesota. And so, yeah, beautiful little strip of prairie in southern Minnesota. And yeah, it's interesting. Like the days start to blend and you get this, it's remarkable seeing everything at 5 miles an hour because, yeah, it's just remarkable.
Do you miss home at all?
I do. I'm especially missing my nieces right now, especially after yesterday's news on the Texas shooting. I've been.
For sure.
Yeah, man. That was really tough. I was kind of ending a very difficult day 30 and then see this news on my phone. And yes, I think a lot about my nieces. I think about my brother and sister, my folks, my friends. I want to get back, run as fast as I can so I can come hang out this summer and make up for lost time.
Yeah. So for the people that live under a rock and not following your adventures right now, can you tell them a little bit about your mental health ambitions?
Yeah. So we, I'm running across America, 3,071 miles for youth mental health. Our goal is to spark conversations as we head across the country about how do we best support those in need. I think many of our communities are realizing, wow, this is a really, really big issue and series of issues that we're facing. And sometimes it can feel overwhelming because depression, anxiety, and alcohol and drug abuse are, a lot of these are at all-time highs right now. And that can feel overwhelming to people that want to help. So how do we help? And we're aiming to spark a conversation on that and then spark action as well through Run Far Foundation, a just launched nonprofit organization that aims to get young people age 13 to 23 into volunteer service projects. And so our big belief is that when you've got purpose and community, you are going to become far more resilient for the challenges that life throws at you, which life will. So let's help young people build deeper roots, stronger foundations.
Mm-hmm. And yesterday was a huge example of why we need more mental health resources. What's weather been like for you? Has it been everything different or?
Yeah, it's been, remarkable. So from a foot in the Atlantic on April 25th, we had a few very hot days where I was getting scorched by the sun. Mm. We're then climbing in the Appalachians and Allegheny Mountains where it can be very, very cool. And like kind of, you like literally running through fog banks and getting just like really chilled. Coming out of that, more sunshine. Into Ohio, Indiana, just getting broiled by the sun. The coldest I've been was day 12, getting just 13 hours of just downpour. And so running 49 miles through standing water, you're chilled to the bone by the end of that. And then yesterday was probably 65 or 70 and overcast, which is actually kind of my favorite weather where you're not going to get too hot, you're not going to get too cold, can just like focus on. Yeah. Clown head. Yeah, a little taste of Bainbridge.
So what are some of the injuries you've had so far? And how do you not carry a knock from one day to the next?
Yeah, so I've been very, very lucky where nothing, I've had nothing catastrophic. I've had lots of itty bitty things. I have a great team here that's always here to support, including my roommate over here, Joshua, is just awesome. So yeah, he's our body mechanic. And I came back 2 days ago with a really tight hamstring. We were able to work on that with some targeted stretching and trigger point massage, getting some ointments on there. Yesterday it was the top of my left ankle on the front side, really stiff. So we do a little bit of stretching and then we tape that after an Epsom salt bath so that I wake up and actually, hey, it feels a little bit better. So much of this game is whack-a-mole. We're like, something will always be hurting and breaking down. The key is to mitigate it, both the physical fallout of that, because when your ankle hurts, you can alter your stride, which then makes your hip hurt or your back hurt or your shoulder hurt. And I've dealt with literally each of those issues and a lot more during all this. And the key for me is to focus on like solving the underlying issue, work with Joshua to get the body work done, stay really well fueled and hydrated so we've had energy, and then get the stride back, keep moving forward.
Now from day one, you've ran about 1,000 miles already. Is that correct?
We're pushing 1,400. So yeah, I think 1,375 or something.
And moreover, how many days in a row have you ran now?
Yes, yeah, so we've done 30 ultra marathons in 30 days during this challenge. And then, overall, I'm at, I think, 783 days consecutively of running at least a mile. So,
what are you running from, Greg? That's 2 years of running.
2 years of running. No, and for me, the start of all that was March 27, 2020, where it was the beginning of COVID lockdown. And I felt really just like down, and I felt sad, and I felt like sort of like trapped. And for me, running is freedom. It makes me feel free. It makes me feel happy. And I know the kind of person I was before I started running, where I used to really chronic bouts of depression, lots of alcohol to try to mask that and to try to feel better that way. And then taking you know, opiate painkillers to try to mask all that. And that, that's not the way that I want to live. And so I, yeah, traded all that for running. And so in some ways I'm running from that previous version of me, but I really view it as I'm running toward a better version of me. And I'm trying to do some good, while doing all that too.
Well said. How's the documentary going? Are we getting lots of good footage while you're out there?
We're getting great footage. So we had an amazing day, starting at a weekend at the Atlantic before we began the run. Got some beautiful footage in New York City, the ocean there onto the New Jersey Turnpike. And then, yeah, since then I've been, capturing lots of good footage, each and every day. And then we've got a film team meeting us back in kind of the Big Sky through the Rockies, Cascades onto the Pacific. So yeah, I think we've got lots of wonderful interviews. We've got, you know, America's a beautiful place. A lot of cool footage from the run. And I'm really excited to spark more conversation about, addiction, recovery, and mental health.
Well, you're doing a great job. Have you had any interviews with people where you've found somebody with mental health issues or a recovering alcoholic that you've got to talk to along the run?
Yes, yeah, so almost every day. And here's the thing is people will ask, I'm intentionally wearing it. I've got a pair of shorts I'll show you. I'm rocking these every day. And on one side is the United States here. And on the other is run across America. Sorry, my Zoom background's filtering that, but it's the number of days we've been running. And little conversation starter at a cafe or a restaurant or a diner or a street corner, people ask what I'm up to. Are you running a race? And I share for 15 or 20 seconds, and more times than you'd think, the other individual share something from their own story with, oh, wow, I've dealt with X, Y, Z, or my son has dealt with this. And, just 2 days ago, and I mentioned Blue Earth, Minnesota. The reason I was thinking about that is wonderful fellow Steve mentions his own mental health practice as a daily journal he has kept since January 1st, 1976. Wow. Every day since 1976, he's kept a journal to help him stay on top of his mental health. And he then shared the heartbreak of sending his son onto the Iraq war. And as he put it, the boy we sent to war never came home. The man who returned was deeply, deeply scarred from those experiences. And he was just deeply vulnerable sharing, how difficult that has been and how his family's tried to cope with that and tried to move on, and try to be there for someone going through really, really tough stuff. So that was one of literally dozens of powerful conversations that, that we've had on the route. And what I'm really learning about all this is that mental health challenges are so much more universal than even data is picking up. The data looks really bad, like, oh my gosh, millions and millions of people. And it looks like we're turning in the wrong direction. And I think the data is off. I think there are even more folks struggling. I think every person is connected in some way to the challenges of mental illness and the challenges of maintaining mental health. So our big belief in all this is, how do we help young people build the right habits, the right foundation? Because if you help someone at this age, as they get a little bit older and more mature, they're able to navigate life storms with the right kind of disposition and experiences.
Awesome. What's your daily routine looking like besides getting up, getting stretched out, having a big breakfast, and then do you immediately go on a run? Do you stretch out some more? Do you get any pool work in, anything like that?
Yeah, so I'm I'll give you the sort of typical day. So we initially were aiming to do like a sunrise start each day, like getting an early bird flow. And within a few days, it became obvious I was doing my best running later in the day. And so as we've shifted our schedule back, we're really trying to optimize the running window so that the 11 or 12 hours I'm out there getting the most miles at the lowest effort. And so, the way that we're doing that is, I mentioned a little bit of the morning deal with wake up, get the breakfast, get stretched, get dressed. And then I'm running usually 90 minutes to 3 hours, depending on the weather, the topography, how I'm feeling. And then we'll do our first pit stop. And at the pit stop, I'm drinking. So I'm putting down probably a vitamin water, some electrolytes, maybe a coffee. I'm flagging something that's been bothering me. Maybe we'll do a little bit of stretch like we did yesterday. Eating, trying to get something down the hatch. Maybe it's a blueberry muffin. Maybe it's another breakfast sandwich. A huge part of all this is fueling. I need 7,500 calories a day. That's really hard to eat when you're running the full day. So I'm drinking a lot of that. I'm stuffing my face whenever I can, however I can. Mm-hmm. And then another 3 hours of running down the road before a lunch, kind of a similar deal, refueling, rehydrating, another 3-4 hour block. And really it's a little bit of Groundhog Day where we're repeating the same kind of structure because that's what's working for us.
And when you're on the island, I used to see you running about midday, starting out your day. And that makes sense that you kind of keep that type of schedule for yourself because you're doing 10, 12 hours, if not more per day, and you got to be tired. I'm tired watching you every day.
Yeah. This is a special kind of deal. Cause I do run every day and I, pride myself on taking on big challenges and then getting back in the arena, doing it again. This is a special kind of deal because it feels never ending. I mean, it's like, I've shared with our road crew here, Yoshi and Elise, that some mornings I really feel like a prisoner on the way to the gallows where it's like, I've got to go run 47 miles today. And the last thing I want to do is get out of bed, let alone put on my shoes and go run 47 miles. So there's a huge mental side of all this. Cause yes, it is exhausting. Absolutely. And we got to do it again today. And you also got to do it again tomorrow and the day after and the day after. And so much of that is how do you block out the full totality and the full magnitude of the challenge while focusing on just the here and now. And literally it's like getting to that mailbox or that telephone pole or that maple or that oak. That really helps me because I get overwhelmed. The moment I start thinking about 42 miles to go or 1700 miles to go, you can really put yourself in a bad headspace that makes everything far harder. So keep it easy by focusing on, the moment in front of you.
Yeah, I remember doing that little mailbox trick and trees and stuff when I was running in junior high back in cross country days. What was it like running through Chicago and going back to your old stomping grounds there?
Yeah, it was a powerful moment, man. I Chicago is a very special place to me. I went to college there and I went through some tough stuff during college where my sort of daily therapy would be getting out on the lakefront to run. And I would do these big laps back and forth on Lake Michigan there with just all these big dreams of what my life could be. And I kept telling myself this will be worth it one day, just keep going, even though I had no idea where any of it would lead. And so, in so many ways, that's where I became a distance runner. That's where I trained for my first half marathon. That was the foundation for my first ultra. And so, running back through there here, 12, 13 days ago now. Yeah. Powerful flood of emotion, feeling nostalgia. I felt a certain kind of tenderness toward the 19-year-old version of me who had just been booted from the track team, who was trying to kind of rebuild, his life there on the lakeshore and, getting there, getting to see a bunch of my friends and then realizing that, I am living that 19-year-old's dream right now. My 19-year-old self would be really stoked that the 33-year-old version is still as crazy as I am getting after it, doing these things. So that part was really cool. Thinking about kind of the nostalgia with that and how stoked I think he would be.
Well, you're the good kind of crazy. Definitely the good
kind of crazy. We're all a little crazy. You got to channel it in the right way, I think. So,
well, I'm sure you got plenty to do. So I'm going to make this time short and continue to follow you online. My son Vinny was telling me that you're a big pretzel eater. That's something that slipped my mind a little bit. How many pretzels do you eat and what's your go-to pretzel?
My go-to pretzel, we've been, I like salty. The body, when you're sweating, you need salt to restore the sodium you're losing. So yeah, pretzels are great. my go-to pretzel, we've been just kind of getting gas station pretzels, I think, along the way mainly, and trying different styles has been fun during all this, and there have been a number of hits. So yeah, for the young folks, if they're training, pretzels are a good little snack. Get your sodium back.
How does that not dry out your mouth, though, and get caught in mouth?
The big conundrum. And yeah, I always, it's like one pretzel, one big sip. And so it helps with hydration. You know, you're, mm-hmm. yeah, you're incentivized to drink more.
Are you listening to anything while you run?
I am. So my favorite thing is actually birdsong. So I, no headphones, just listen to the birds. And I do that for hours every day. And it's really amazing. Like I can hear the differences as we're climbing the Appalachians. Then on the backside, it's like, wow, those are totally different, you know, population species, of birds. Yeah. Messaging each other. And then across the farmland of Ohio and Indiana, you know, different deals into the city and then the prairie. It's been remarkable. So that's been my favorite thing. I also have, I listen to audiobooks. I listen to some music as well. And so something that gets my mind off the pain I'm feeling, that's usually the go-to.
What's the strangest thing you've seen on the run?
Strangest thing I've seen on the run.
Has there been any animals come out of the woods running after you?
What's that?
Something to do with the cows.
Oh yeah. So yeah, overwhelmingly positive experience. Yeah, we have had a number of folks just really confused with like what we're up to and not almost in disbelief. There's some runner guy going through like farmland in the middle of absolutely nowhere. And so yeah, I think a number of those have been strange. I think it's been strange for them to see me is how that shakes out. Now the big thing for me that's been kind of surprising in all of this has been a lot of the challenges folks are feeling, whether it's in a big city like New York or Philadelphia or Chicago, or you know, little suburban pockets outside those, or really out in the sticks. A lot of folks are hurting right now, and a lot of folks are trying to get their footing and trying to do the right thing for their kids. And I've spoken to probably four or five cops now that have stopped me in various capacities. And we've had a little conversation on this. I've talked to folks at diners and street corners and folks out watering their lawn or mowing. And when they ask what we're up to, there's a moment of connection there. And we have so much more in common than, you know, that separates us. And I think we have a habit of forgetting that, especially with the way the media likes to message us and the way our electoral politics tend to work. But there's a lot of common ground, and especially for how do we help young people. And so, yeah, that's my big surprise. And so that's the strange thing I've sensed in all this is there's fertile ground for us to work together, and to really, it's going to take a village, and it's going to take a national village to do this. And I'm hopeful this this run can be a small part of, you know, how we do it.
Awesome, Greg. I'll let you go. You want to shout out your foundation again and anything else?
Yeah. So couple last thoughts. Number one, I want to thank folks. I've gotten so much wonderful support and encouragement from the island. And it's everything from really sweet messages on text or on Facebook or on Instagram. And I can't tell you how many times I felt really down, and I open up, you know, my Instagram, and there's all these sweet messages that really give me kind of wind in the sails going forward. So thank you. That means far, far more than I think folks realize with a challenge of this magnitude. And we've also gotten an outpouring of support for our foundation, runfarfoundation.com. We're all about helping young people get their footing through community service, passion, purpose, and community. And we would love your help building our impact. We just hit 100 founding donors. We want to keep growing it. You can learn more, runfarfoundation.com. And then the final thing I want to say is thank you to Team Mom, the four wonderful, wonderful moms who have been helping us literally from day zero on this, getting this off the ground and organizing everything behind the scenes. So I can't wait to hang out this summer and hopefully see a bunch of y'all at the 4th of July parade.
Yeah. Awesome. Did anybody in your crew want to give a shout out to their mom or significant other? I know you guys are on a long journey.
Yeah, I mean, we're all missing our families, and yeah, we, our family and friends, and we're out here.
So. I can do a shout out.
Yeah, shout it out, Yoshi. Yeah.
My mom's birthday is this week, so. Ooh.
Yeah. Throw on a shirt and then he'll join us.
I was wondering why he's quiet. He's laying in bed.
Yeah, no, we're all tired after yesterday and the 30 days before that.
Come on, Yoshi.
I'll be right there.
Anything for mom and her birthday? So
I've gotta... Yes.
Here's Yoshi.
Oh, I'm blurred. Nice.
Now come closer here.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Hello.
You the one keeping this guy all fit and ready to go?
I guess so, yeah.
Well, what's your mom's name?
My mom's name is Gail Coors.
Gail Coors.
She's changed her name a couple times, but her name's Gail Coors.
Tell her what you want to say.
Well, first off, happy birthday. I know she's probably feeling some empty nest. She's had many a children and we're all elsewhere in the world now. But think about her and the values she's instilled in us along the way. And she's always with us wherever we go. Yeah, I don't know how you would reach that outlet, but yeah, she's in New York, so.
Well, happy birthday to her.
Yeah.
You keep taking good care of this guy, Yoshi. The world appreciates it. Greg, it's always good to see you. Get home, man. Get home.
One step at a time. We're doing it. Yeah.
All right. Be well. Take care, Tim. Boys.
Godspeed.
Thank you.
Cheers. Be kind.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.